Hey, Smutters.
Hey, everybody. You want to know what really grinds my gears?
What grinds your gears?
Remakes on movies.
Oh, my gosh. What movie are you specifically talking about?
The one we just watched, Children of the Corn.
I love that.
It was good, but it's not the original. In the original, there was no 12-foot walking corn stalk monster.
Spoiler alert, y'all. Yeah, I remember the original. Like, I was little when I first saw it. And
I think it was ever little. It might be younger.
What the fuck?
I'm just kidding.
It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, and it scared me too.
And I, like, don't even remember it. Like, we need to rewatch it because I don't even remember any of it. But we watched the new one, and the new one was so good.
It was good.
It
wasn't great. It was good.
I loved it. I thought the little girl that was, like, their leader was...
Yeah, she was cool.
She was amazing. I was kind of rooting for her because she just took control, you know?
She rocked it.
But
she had to be possessed, though.
No, she did not. She was angry.
Nah.
Yeah. She was angry. She wasn't possessed. Okay. So how has your week been?
It's been a living hell, Jen. How about yours? I feel like I'm in hell and I have a ghost job.
A ghost job. Yep. You know, I say that a lot at work. That is my hell, that I've died and gone to hell and I just can't figure out how I died.
I'm like the girl in American Horror Story where she's having to work retail and she's in hell.
Yeah, exactly. jobs are fun, y'all. let's complain about everything while we're on here.
All right, one other thing that grinds my gears.
What's that?
Okay. If you're going to the gym, all great and glory for you. Happy 150%. But why do you have to take the absolute closest parking spot to the gym? You're going to work out anyways. Fucking park a few down so everybody else can park close to where they need to go. You're going to go work out. You're in workout clothes. You're in tennis shoes.
Jog your ass up there.
Right.
Or
call for a shuttle.
Oh my.
Don't take the very front spot because you think you're the shit. You're not.
Is that aimed at somebody? Because, wow. Anything else?
No, I'm fine.
You good?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Well, okay, then.
You're not special.
It's just weird, okay? If you're going to work out, park far away.
Get some more exercise in.
What's wrong with you? If we knew your name, we'd say it.
You know what?
You do know their name.
They're getting that decal on their blinker lights like I showed you something
about. Troy found these blinker lights, and when it lights up on your tail lights, it's a penis. He's like, I'm going to put those on your car and never tell you. That's the best. I love that idea. Actually, I think we should just get a bunch of those and carry them around for people that have pissed us off. They get penis blinker lights. They get rocket ships. Wow. All
right. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway. So, tonight, now, we have already done an episode about vampires, but...
Are they going to sparkle this time?
No. We are doing an episode of encounters with vampires.
Like once bitten vampires? What kind of vampires are we going at here? Because there's a lot of vampire movies that I actually like a lot of.
Yeah. Which we need to go over because... That was kind of the hint this week was all different kinds of vampires. Now, we have energy vampires and all that. I'm talking vampires that drain you of your blood and like the... classic movie vampires.
The Strain vampires where they're all nasty and you don't want to be them?
No. You know what? I didn't even bring up the Strain vampires because they're gross and they drink your blood with like their weird little tongue, their little baby tongue that comes out.
Let's just say Lost Boys vampires.
Lost Boy vampires are cool. But then we've also got, and I know we've brought this show up before, True Blood.
Porn vampires.
Porn vampires. Which, I would like to watch True Blood again.
I bet you would.
For that reason. I just, like, it's based in New Orleans, right? But they make the main characters sound so Southern.
From Bon Ton.
From Bon Ton. And, you know, it's just what it's about, y'all. It's like modern times. And it's if vampires came out of the casket.
And it's all porn.
Yeah, a lot of it is porn. But the storyline is good.
I reckon I've already been to heaven. I was in your wife.
Oh my God, that is your favorite part. That's not even a vampire saying it. It's just a God. Anyway, there's our headliner right there. That's what's going to be put out everywhere. I know. You used to play it all the time. But yeah, we've got True Blood, and then we've got the Twilight vampires that are absolutely beautiful when they get in sunlight because they look like a big glob of glitter. And I love that, you know? Hey, did the Volturi vampires sparkle? I don't remember ever seeing them sparkle.
I don't think they were meant to sparkle because they were meant to be menacing.
So they didn't get to sparkle?
I don't think so. They were pretty badass ones.
But
they would sparkle, though.
They were supposed to. Like,
yeah, they would have.
That was a vampire thing, but I never saw them sparkle.
That was a dream, the last part of it, when you saw all of them. So they're not going to sparkle in dreams.
They still came out there. Anyway, they didn't sparkle. I did not see them sparkle. And then we have Dracula. We have Vlad the Impaler vampire. What do you think about that one?
And that movie with Selma Hayek in it, those vampires, remember?
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yep.
Those were ugly vampires. I don't want to be a vampire that turns ugly. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to get old vampire.
Like Vampire Diaries, how their eyes just kind of change. I'd be fine with that, Buffy the Vampire vampires. I'd be okay with it, you know?
I want to be Damon.
Damon? Well, cool, cool, cool.
Actually, I'll be Klaus.
Yes. I've got a fun fact about that I got just for you about the originals when we get into our story tonight.
Do they know my obsession with the originals and how much I love the show?
No, you guys. Troy has an obsession with the originals and he really loves the show.
There you go. All done.
No, that's like his favorite show ever. He loves the Michelsons. I love Vampire Diaries and the originals and legacies and all that, but for some reason, I cannot get into the originals. Like, I love them. I love the idea of them. I love them when they were on Vampire Diaries, but their own show, I did not like.
You're crazy.
I know. Like, once we started watching it and we could binge it, I loved it. But it wasn't one of those that I could wait and watch. You know what I mean? You got me?
Rebecca.
Anyway, so, I'm trying to think of all the other vampires. But yeah, we've got, you know, the Dracula vampire where he's really old and decrepit looking and gets in his special magic dirt and turns young again.
Our show, our main show that we love, Interview with a Vampire.
Oh my goodness, what is our problem? Yes, Interview with the Vampire.
Movie and the new show.
Yeah, the movie and the show.
The Grey Worm.
Which I cannot wait for that show to come back on. You guys, if y'all have not watched the Interview with the Vampire show yet, you must. It is also vampire porn, but it is very good. And plus, I'm obsessed with Claudia in that show. She's wonderful. Anyway, enough of us rambling. Y'all get the idea. There's different kinds of vampires, right?
Right.
So, now specifically, we're going to be talking about like I said, the classic vampires. Because in New Orleans, you've got, it sounds like every kind of vampire you could possibly imagine. You've got the energy vampires and all that. And, you know, these are the scary as hell vampires, I guess you could say, okay? But I did find, which was kind of interesting to me, and I wanted to share it with you guys, that are all over the world for thousands of years, there have been myths about vampires.
I remember those graves that have the
bars on it. But would you think about Egypt having a vampire myth?
Too sunny.
They do, though. Okay. So, as I said, tonight we're going to talk about true vampire encounters. The vampire myths have been haunting people for almost 6,000 years all around the world.
6,000 years?
6,000.
How many is that? What's that in relation to BC?
Oh my God, stop it. Did you not do the math?
Yes.
I texted Troy earlier, y'all, and I was like, I need to know how many years this is. And he was like, 6,000. And I was like, okay, do-do-do-do-do.
But it is accurate, though.
Okay, it is accurate. So 6,000 years. Some of the myths are actually backed up by facts. So what we're going to do is start with the legend of the Blood Countess. Now, I'm sure most of you guys have heard of the Blood Countess. We've got Elizabeth Bathory, who lived in Hungary from 1560 to 1614. Kind of, except she's a little worse. And this was true. She was accused of vampire behavior because she would bite the flesh of her victims and bathe in their blood as a beauty treatment.
Yeah, but it all came from
Vlad.
Yeah, right?
Well,
was he before her? A lot of vampire and stuff?
Maybe. I feel like he was probably a little bit before her, but he didn't, like, kill his victims and drink the stuff for beauty treatments.
Spear up their asshole. And
yeah, but he didn't like do it to look young. He did it for war, you know? She did it. She like sacrificed virgins and.
Oh, Bloody Mary.
No. because her name's Elizabeth. She sacrificed virgins and got like their blood. And wow. Would like
have to get them out of the womb.
Wow, stop. You were like doing so many things we can't do on air. Stop it.
True.
Stop. No, no, no. We're not doing this on the air. You're a whore. Stop. Okay. Anyway, next we go to Vlad of Wallachia. Stop it. Vlad of Wallachia from Romania, better known as Vlad the Impaler. Now,
Vlad needs an inhaler.
He is the root of many vampire legends, including Dracula.
That's all of them. But he is the main one that everybody recognizes.
That's where they got Dracula from.
Yeah, but Dracula's the first vampire. Like, even in Blade.
Blade is fictional, though.
I hope this isn't. Gotcha.
Blade's not real. What are you talking about? Gotcha. Anyway.
Wow.
He was better known as Vlad the Impaler, and he is the root of vampire legends, including Dracula. He would impale his enemies on stakes, and one of his most famous stories says, he would sit by the river eating bread while dipping it into his enemy's blood.
Sounds yummy.
Yummy. Moving right along to Egypt. The Egyptian goddess Sekhmet was known for her taste for blood. According to the Egyptian Book of the Dead, if a certain part of the soul called the ka didn't receive adequate offerings, it left the tomb to drink blood. Now,
Meow.
The Legend of Chang'e.
Chang'e.
I'm sorry. I'm probably not saying that right.
I'm probably
not. In China, vampires had long hooked claws and red eyes. Chang'e translates to corpse hopper. And I'm just going over these different countries and the how far away they are, just so you get the idea of how many different places,
cultures,
right, have these myths and legends. Like, why do all these different places have this? I'm gonna make believers out of y'all. And then we have a Sumerian and Babylonian myth dating back from 4000 BC. An Ekamu is a spirit that isn't buried properly and returns to suck life from the living. Now, moving right along to Northwest Europe, dolmens or stones placed over the graves were there to prevent the dead from rising and evil spirits escaping. During the 16th century, many believed vampires fed off the bodies of plague victims. I'm going to stop right there because I feel like if I was a vampire, I would not want to eat a plague victim.
I would be eating princesses.
I would, yeah, it would be somebody clean and healthy. It would. There's the smut and supernatural smut.
I would have damn tampon popsicles.
That's enough of you for from, right now. Stop. Nope. Nope. Stop.
From
stop.
Ukraine and we're... Russia. Princesses.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay. That's disgusting, by the way. It's so different. So different.
Well, this is what you get for late night after hours with Troy.
Well, that's just... Ew.
After hours with Troy.
I feel like that kind of blood is different from, like...
It's the same blood.
It's gross. Okay, now...
You've ever, so, ever seen Taxi Cab
stop
Confessions?
It!
It only comes on after midnight. Well, this is Troy's Taxi Cab Confessions.
How you would...
I ate a brownie once.
Stop it. Oh, my God. You're going to get us canceled. Oh, my God. That's enough of you. So... They said that the vampires would feed off the bodies of the plague victims, but they also believed the female vampires were the ones that spread the plague. People suspected...
Wait, spread the plague?
Yes.
Does it mention how, like, new vampires were made in between different areas?
I did not see anything on how they were made.
So that's why it's all, like... different throughout the movies, like some you have to be buried and some you have to...
That's interesting that you said that, because I did not see a single thing about how they were made. And how I did see, if like you see a vampire, don't try to get them to turn you into a vampire, because they do not like that.
I definitely would be.
I would be all, I would follow them constantly until I they would did
be too. I would send them selfies of me with fame. Like,
I would be so great as a vampire. I'll kill a kid. It's fine.
But I'm not going to be one of those poor fucking vampires.
I'm not going to be a poor vampire.
I'm
going
to live 600 years and be poor. Paycheck to paycheck and have to work.
Have to pay fucking rent every month.
I want to be able to glamour people or
exactly
whatever that is and make them give me like all their money. In the
bank. It's not hashtag vampire jobs. It's hashtag ghost jobs.
Wait, are vampires technically ghosts?
No, they're just the undead.
They're dead.
But they've got their body, because ghosts are like see-through and stuff. You know what I mean?
Huh.
Yeah. And ghosts don't drink blood.
Can vampires procreate?
I mean, Edward could. And Klaus. Klaus could.
But they were hybrids.
Edward wasn't?
Yeah, but he had sex with a human.
Oh, I bet lots of vampires have sex with humans.
Well, duh. Have you seen True Blood?
Vampire porn, new t-shirt. We've got hashtag ghost jobs and then vampire porn.
Yep.
That's my favorite. Y'all must wear these t-shirts everywhere you go when we have them made eventually. Okay, so we've got to get through this because
we can afford a t-shirt.
We've we've got to get through this because we've got so much more to go through. Oh, this isn't it.
I'm playing Angry Birds.
No, you're not. So, in... Oh, yeah, yeah. So, when people were suspected of being vampires, when they were buried, they would have rocks or bricks wedged in their mouth. 16th century Germany, the stories were different. Vampires were called Nachtzehr, or after devourers. They never left their graves. They just gnawed at their burial shrouds, which is the worst kind of vampire you could ever be.
Who would want that?
Like, do they just lay in their casket beneath their clothes?
And wish they were dead? Why this shit happened?
I love eating clothes. That's fun.
Maybe I can find some sticks and rocks.
What happens when they're done with their burial shrouds? They start eating their coffin? That's weird. No, they can't get out of their coffin. They have to stay there and eat their clothes. If that happened to you, I'd just give you all the laundry that we had and dump it in there with you. Okay, anyway. So, as you can see, the whole world has some kind of vampire lore. And let's get into the stories.
Okay.
So many.
How many?
A lot. But I've got one of your favorites coming up.
Oh.
Would you like to know which one?
It better not be those damn casket
girls.
It's
the casket girls.
They're all whores.
No. Listen, I'm going to get through this story without you making me mad today. I've tried to do this story twice already, because, and I deleted both of them because I got pissed off at you.
Well, it's because your stories were inadequate because I poked holes in all of it.
They're... like vampire stories. I think you could probably poke holes in all of them.
Poke a hole in you.
God almighty. Okay, let's go on this one.
Cervix is from the ripening.
Oh my God. Wow.
They didn't hear that.
They can hear you. This is a microphone.
This is After Hours.
After Hours with Troy. According to lore, one day in 1932, a young girl escaped from the house shared by brothers John and Wayne Carter. As she made her way down Royal Street, a New Orleans police officer stopped her and listened to her incredible story. Supposedly, she and others were tied up in the Carter home so the pair could drink their blood. The girl had her wrist cut to enable a long, slow bleed, and depending on the report, she either offered to take the officer back to her former prison on the corner of Royal Street and St. Ann Street, or was rushed to the hospital. Regardless of how, the police did make it back to the Carter home to investigate the girl's claims of the vampires in the French Quarter.
Speaking of vampires, you know what was really cool? The vampires in Smallville. When Lana became a vampire.
Did she?
Yes, she did.
I don't remember that. Police made it to the Carter home and found that the residents were absent. Upon breaking in, authorities allegedly found upwards of a dozen bodies with wrists slit and blood drained. There were also at least four captives tied up to chairs with bandaged but bleeding wrists. Some bodies were wrapped in sheets and all appeared as though they'd been there for many days. The Carter brothers were nonchalantly working their dock job, unworried about their prey escaping and alerting authorities. Police decided to wait. Oh, I remember that.
Told you.
Police decided to wait in the brothers' apartment for them to return in order to apprehend them. Some sources say that police left 10 of their largest officers in the Carter apartment to take on the alleged vampires when they returned after dark to feed. Apparently, the brothers worked from pre-dawn to dusk, removing the bandages from their captives' wrists and drinking their blood before wrapping them up again. When the brothers walked into the apartment, it took 7 or 8 police officers to subdue the 2 average-sized men. Legends say that the brothers are about 5 feet 6 inches, weighing under 160 pounds. And they did fight off 4 officers and leapt from their balcony. These are different versions. Unharmed, the 2 bolted off into the night. In this telling, police regrouped and decided to hit the docks where the Carter brothers worked the next day. In the version in which the Carter brothers escape the ambush in their apartment, they make the mistake of keeping to their everyday routine. They showed up for work at the docks the very next day and were arrested. As soon as they were in cuffs, John and Wayne supposedly they began admitting that they were vampires. They also asked the police to go ahead and kill them because they would continue capturing people and drinking blood if remained alive. Now, one version of the Carter brothers' legend says they escaped immediately after captive did. Most of the stories see them tried as serial killers in court. Presumably unable to convince the courts of their superhuman status, they were held accountable for their actions, found guilty, and sentenced to death for their crimes. After their executions, held either immediately or years after the guilty verdicts, the men were laid to rest in their family vaults in New Orleans. When the next Carter family member passed, the vault holding John and Wayne was opened to slide in the new casket. However, there was no trace of the brothers' remains at all in the tomb. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Oh my.
That's a scary one.
Scary stuff, scary stuff, scary stuff.
Ding. Okay, so I like that one. I've always liked that one. Let's see here. Start over here. So, okay, here's another one. This was a case from 1984. What?
Sorry, it's just something I saw on Facebook on Instagram.
There's very little documentation on this, and the locals are all very aware of this incident. 9 people were found in and about the French Quarter area, all having had their throats ripped out. Paramedics and other first responders were dumbfounded as that, though the scenes were gory, there was no blood to mention. The case resembled an earlier occurrence where, in 1933, 2 known prostitutes met the same demise. A witness that lived above the scene said that he heard screams as he ran to his balcony. He saw a tall, dark figure leaning over the victim. And the dark figure was reported to have leapt over a 12-foot wall at the end of the alley and disappeared with no trace. The violence of both the attacks would have left signs of a struggle, and the bodies should have bled out, but they did not. In fact, the bodies in both cases were drained completely. The cases remain unsolved to this day, but all the locals know the truth. Ew.
Scary.
Now this one, I like this one because they get the elder vampires involved. The Volturi.
Yeah, the mean ones that don't sparkle.
The ones that don't sparkle. In the mid-80s, a rogue vampire moved into the area, making his home on Royal Street, near to where Saint Germain called home in the early 1900s. Now, we went over Saint Germain in the other episode, but if y'all have not heard that, Saint Germain is somebody who kept reinventing himself over hundreds of years, and people kept having sightings of him. He was very smart, very witty, talented, but it is claimed that he is still seen on Royal Street, which brings me to a fun fact, because Saint Germain lived so many years, you know, and like I said, is probably still alive. The original's house is on Royal Street.
It's for sale right now.
I know, but it's on Royal Street, and that's where all the vampire stuff takes place, is on Royal Street. So when I saw that, I was like, well played, originals. Like, I love that they did that, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, the rogue vampire caused so much turmoil in his brief stint in the city that New Orleans officials had begun to pressure the known vampire elders in the community, who did not appreciate the invasion of their privacy. Forced by the attention and suspicion that was cast upon them, the elders gathered and met in reference to the rogue vampire. All agreed that he should be eliminated, and so it was. The rush of vampire attacks ended as quickly as it began. Now everyone knows it is against nature for a vampire to kill a vampire. However, in this instance, the greater good prevailed.
Like Abraham Lincoln, vampire hunter. Vampires couldn't kill other vampires.
Oh yeah, you're right. I forgot about that one. The greater good prevailed. It is said that the slain troublemaker was ripped apart by the elders during an ancient ritual, which no living man has ever witnessed. After the ceremony, the remains of the vampire were placed in a crypt at a nearby cemetery. It is said by the locals that his screams and moans can be heard through the thick marble walls of the vault to this day. Huh. We need to go see that vault.
I want to go to New Orleans to that.
That vampire cafe? Oh, the original's house. The vampire cafe is right next to it.
I know.
So cool.
And you know they've changed Covington now. Like on the Vampire Diaries tour, like the Mystic Grill is actually the Mystic Grill.
It burned down.
No.
No, it burned down.
No, it's like real now.
It recently burned down.
Like within the past 2 days? Yeah. I just saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, like, I was told that, like, one of the girls saw it, that it had caught fire or something.
Well, shove a pumpkin up my ass. I still want
to
go.
I do too. I wanted to eat at the Mystic Grill. Because when we saw it, it had, like, stuff stored in there.
Yeah, and there was, like, a law office.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the biggest disappointment of the whole trip.
I know. I was like, Mystic Grill, we can go in and sit and eat. No, it was a storage room. I was so upset. Okay. My grandfather, on my father's side, served as lieutenant commander aboard a British S-class...
No, he wasn't. He wasn't British.
...submarine... during World War II, and he swore the captain was a vampire. It was something my parents joked about behind his back. I never spoke to my grandfather about it. He passed away before I was old enough or emboldened enough to ask. He never raised the subject in my presence, but my dad knows all the stories. The captain never boarded or disembarked the sub during daylight hours. His skin was pale as a candle. He occasionally displayed supernatural strength and reflexes, and he seemed to be able to read minds. No one ever saw him eat or drink anything, etc. All the corny classic vampire indicators. Apparently, my grandpa and his and his fellow seamen. You're not gonna lie with that.
That's what she said.
We're even able to link the captain to various naval base disappearances too, but my dad doesn't remember the details of those stories. Anyway, no one took my grandfather seriously, but then after he passed away in 1993, we were sifting through his belongings and we came across a black and white photograph of him in what appears to be the mess aboard the sub. He is standing in a long and cramped room with some other men, and they're all smiling for the photo.
With slender men or other men?
Other men. One of the men, however, is not smiling. He is very tall, very gaunt, and he appears to be annoyed.
I want to go on a
When we found the photo, my dad said, "There's Captain Dracula," and we all laughed and resumed going through Grandpa's things. The next day, my dad walked into the kitchen looking as pale as a ghost. He'd been inspecting the old photos with a magnifying glass when he noticed that the captain was not appearing in a small mirror in the back of the mess. You can see the reflection of the other men in the photo, but not the captain.
Oh my God, you know what would be cool?
What?
You know how they have the app now that takes like old photos and touches it up, but it also makes the faces
move? Makes them move.
Can you take, like, get some of those and take it to like a really old person? And like there were supposedly haunted pictures they're scared of.
Oh my gosh.
love it.
Okay. This next one.
How do you think Bat or like the Joker really beat Batman? I mean, come on.
The hell are you talking about? Why is that even brought up right now? We can talk about this after the show.
Okay.
The Joker didn't beat Batman, by the way.
No, but he beat his ass the whole movie until the end.
Because he's got tricks up his sleeve. He's a Joker. Stop it. Right. Next story.
You don't really grind my gears.
No, we're not doing this. Maybe I'm delusional, but I swear my old... situationship is a vampire.
That's what I'm gonna start saying. I'm
if you ever call me a situationship, is that a like we live together, so we just started to date or something? Like, what is that?
K- Kaz here.
Situationship.
Time to leave.
Okay. So now that we've learned about situationships, I don't know much about vampires, but from what I've seen of her, she resembles one to me. She had long, sharp canines, and I wouldn't say they looked out of this world, but they stood out when she smiled. She'd always playfully bite me, and the sharpness of those teeth were beyond painful. I always instantly bled by the smallest prick of her canines. She also never left the house during the daytime unless she was leaving with an umbrella that blocked out UVA. What? UV rays. That's not what they said. And even then, she would be under the sun for under 10 minutes. She claimed to have a disease called lupus and said she only likes to leave the house at night because the sun gave her rashes because of the disease. I recall one time she left the house during the night and came back early morning. I guess the sun rose sooner than she had anticipated.
I think there are people, though, that have like that. They're not really technically allergic to the sun, but they can't, like, I guess, powder.
Oh my God, you want to hear a funny story? It's not funny.
No.
Okay, but I'm going to tell it anyway. When I was in kindergarten, there was this boy in our class, and he had that where he couldn't go out in the sun. So, like, when we had recess, he had to stay inside. So he told us that he was a vampire. So I was so scared of him. So, like, when we went to the gym or whatever, if it was raining for recess, like, he would chase us and pretend he was a vampire. And I was
what a cool kid.
I was terrified of him. But he was, like, real pale, and he had, like, his hair was grayish, and he was in kindergarten. And but, like,
a little Benjamin Button.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what he had. And, like, he was a cool kid. Like, he, like, turned out to be our friend, but because we thought it was fun that he chased us or whatever, like, saying he was a vampire. But, yeah, I always felt bad because when we went outside, he'd just stand out there, like, inside by the door watching everybody play and couldn't go outside.
It's cutaneous.
Cutaneous.
Yeah. Proprietus.
And that's what?
Is you can't get out in the sun.
What happens if they do, though? Do they just get rashes real bad?
Photosensitive reactions, like extreme burning.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see. It's a very rare condition. Like 1 in 1 million people in the United States have
it. Oh my goodness.
More common in Japan, North Africa, and the Middle East.
That's crazy.
There's also something, too, like you were just talking about. There's a sun lupus, too. Increases lupus symptoms after being exposed to UV rays from the sun or artificial light, which causes rash.
That's so sad.
Nose, cheeks, stuff like that.
Can kids get that?
Yeah.
He was so little, though. He was 5 years old. That's so sad. I mean, it didn't seem to bother him, though.
And then here's a news article about real-life vampires who are allergic to the sun.
That's what he was. Sun
sensitivity called porphyria, the vampire disease.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I never went home and told my mom I had a vampire in my class or anything. And, like, that's crazy. I feel so bad for him. No, I'm glad you looked it up because that's so sad. I hate that so much. Like, it's one thing to have an adult and have it and understand why you have to stay inside. But for a five-year-old to have it, and then he's like, I'm just a vampire. I can't go outside.
Unless you're our kid who never wants to go outside.
She'd be fine with it. Yeah. She'd be like, yes, now I don't have to.
She really does look like powder.
She's very pale.
Yes. Sorry, Ashlyn.
We love you. Mama loves you. Okay. So, anyway. So, she would get rashes if she went outside because of her disease. I recall one time, so she left the house and came back that morning and the sun rose sooner than what she had anticipated. Parts of her skin was almost raw. I looked up lupus rashes, and it looked nothing like a lupus rash at all.
Yeah, because there's a lupus sun when it's different.
So that's what she was saying she had, that why she couldn't go out in the sun. But when she came back, when the sun came up, her skin was like all rashy, but it was raw. Like, it shouldn't have looked that way. And when he looked up the rashes, or she, that's not what it looks like.
Back then.
Well, that's not what the rashes looked like when he looked it up. Like, it showed pictures. The best I could describe, the rash was red and raw. She also became very weak if she didn't go out at night for too long. At first, I thought she was drained and weak because she rarely ever ate. She would sometimes eat one meal a day, and other days she wouldn't eat at all. But I realized after a night out, she had full energy again. I sound insane typing it, and I feel insane, but I really believe she was feeding off of other people or animals. One night, she returned home with blood on her, but she claimed the blood was from a bar fight she had gotten into. I didn't eat anybody, and I got in a fucking bar fight. Like, see, which one's worse? Another thing about her was something I never understood was the fact that her bruises, cuts, and that raw rash she had were typically always healed just about the next day after a night out. Also,
a night out cures me of things, too.
Does it? Also, one thing I noticed, but I'm not sure if I had any correlation, is that before she went out at night, she was pale, and when she got back home, she was always a shade or two darker. I probably am crazy, and maybe there's a social and... maybe there's a logical reason to it, but I believe she was a vampire. That's crazy.
I know.
Like, if you were a vampire, how would you hide that from a human if you were living with one, you know?
Compulsion.
I got in a bar fight, obviously. I do that all the time.
You know, Bella figured it out really quick, too.
Vampire.
Say it. Say it.
This reminded me of Fright Night a little bit.
Fright Night. I love those movies.
I love Fright Night.
Now that was a remake that I was okay with.
Yeah, that one was good.
Yeah.
I had a neighbor who I believe had alopecia universalis. Guy was pale though. Only left at night. Night jobs. I know. But from my window, I could see he had this hush-hush move about him. Looking both ways before entering and leaving. Always had his curtains closed. A couple of times, I spotted him on his roof, stargazing or something. One day, he moved out, pretty quickly, in fact, and didn't have many belongings. I think this was like his second home more than anything. He moved east into the mountains and forests and haven't heard anything since. So, they're saying that they suspected he was
a
vampire.
How do they know where he moved to?
Right, like...
I mean, right, forwarding letters to them, or...
I remember when we lived in our old house, and we got a new neighbor, and I talked to her one time, and I was like, I don't talk to my neighbors, and she was like, neither do I, and I was like, I'll wave at you, and she was like, me too, and I was like, good talk. So, and she was fantastic. Like, she was so sweet, but she was just like us. I do not talk to my neighbors. And then, like, we moved here, our neighbor called you, and I was like, don't call her back.
What is she doing?
I was like, don't ever call her back. Don't let her know we care. But yeah, like, that one neighbor we had was wonderful because we'd always wave, but it was never like, let's go hang out and talk, you know?
Don't,
like,
ask for sugar.
Yeah, we're not friends. You'll get acquaintances that don't
baking
speak
powder instead of sugar.
Exactly. Okay. I think we'll go on to the Casket Girls. I'm gonna get this story.
We already talked about them.
No, we talked about the Carter Brothers
and the Casket Girls in the beginning.
No, I said we're gonna talk about the Casket Girls. That's not the same thing. Stop it. Stop. They're not. Okay. So, the Casket Girls, y'all, is one of my favorites that Troy tries to ruin every time I talk about it. So, I'm probably going to get angry in a minute.
Well, just like I ruined all other lovers.
What?
You could never take another lover.
What are you talking about?
I've ruined it for you. You really want to spell it out because of my heat?
Wow. Okay, let's get through this one. The Casket Girls arrived in 1728. The port of New Orleans was bustled with activity. The shouting of men, the stomping hooves of horses, the scraping of boxes as the ships were unloaded. For the group of young women aboard the ship, La Nouvelle Orleans was a taste of the forbidden, of the unknown. The women were ushered down the wooden plank onto the soiled ground. To their chest, they each clutched a coffin-shaped cassette, or a small chest, that held onto their belongings. After nearly 6 months traversing the rough waters of the Atlantic Ocean, the young women were eager to make their arrival, eager and perhaps also a bit nervous about their welcome. They were handpicked by the Bishop of Quebec on order of the French king. The young women were all of appropriate age and background. On their agenda was only one thing, to make a good match and marry one of the French colonists inhabiting the budding Louisiana colony. Upon the sight of them, however, rumors began to circulate throughout the town. Pale, the Frenchmen all muttered to themselves as they spotted the women meant to become their brides. So very pale were the girls that their skin reddened and blistered within moments of enduring the hot subtropical sun. Clutching their casket-shaped chests in tight grips, the young women, filles à la cassette, as they became known, were brought to their new home. Until their respective marriages, they were to remain under the care of the protection of the Ursuline nuns. Y'all, the Ursuline nuns are badasses, by the way. I love them.
So badass.
The fate of the filles à la cassette was not as was expected. The local men in the Vieux-Carre gravely disrespected the women. Some were placed in unwanted marriages, only to be mistreated by their husbands. Others, upon finding themselves alone and unwed, were forced into prostitution. The French king had had enough. He demanded the girls return to France. The sisters of the Ursuline convent then took the casket-shaped chest that had once carried everything that the filles à la cassette had owned and climbed the steps to the third floor of the convent at 1112 Rue Chartres. Up until this time, the windows and door to the third floor had always been sealed shut, and they remained so at that time as well. But a short time later, when the nuns returned to the third floor, they found that the chests were completely empty. They spared no section of the third floor during their search, though the belongings were never recovered. Fearing the young women might have been something other than what they said they were, the Ursuline nuns spared no expense in making sure that nothing ever left the third floor space. The doors were bolted shut. The nails to the windows were blessed by the Pope himself and locked in place. The whispering began anew, but this time they added one more word, vampire. In 1978, two paranormal investigators seeking answers to whether the filles à la cassette had, in fact, been vampires, camped out directly in front of the old Ursuline convent at 1112 Chartres Street. They'd been previously kicked off the property itself for loitering, but decided to stay the night and see if they experienced anything right outside the walls themselves. The hours passed, trickling by minute by minute, so slow was it that sleep overtook them. And in their slumber, they failed to notice the third floor shutters, the same ones which had been locked, shut, blessed nails, open and shut. The recording cameras rolled to a stop as the scene faded to black. The next morning, the bodies of the investigators were found. Their bodies had been torn open, ravaged as if by claws of animals, and their bodies were drained of blood. Vampires. Fill a la cassette. It was all one and the same. And that is the Casket Girls. I love the Casket Girls so much. So, I think we need to get on up to Royal Street and snoop around. What do you think?
No.
Why?
I'm not snooping anywhere.
Are we tired now?
Yes.
You've gotten quiet. This is him getting grumpy because he's tired now, y'all. You're like scrolling on your phone continuously. You're falling asleep.
Well, I am tired.
Late Night with Troy is over, y'all.
It is.
All right, you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. We will see you guys next week. Stay hydrated and stay out of the sun if you can. Hopefully it's cooling off.
It actually is cooling off. And look, even in like going up towards Gatlinburg, you know, close to where we live, trees are starting to turn.
Oh my goodness. Fall colors, y'all. I'm so excited. Okay.
I do have a question, though.
What's that?
You think Chewbacca had one of those human dicks or one of those rose...
Oh, my goodness.
Rose red rocket things.
Stop like talking about... Wow. I have never once pictured Chewbacca's penis. That's insane. Now when I watch Star Wars, which, y'all, is one of our favorite movies... That's like, I'm going to see Chewbacca and be like, Red Rocket.
Have like a lipstick?
Red Rocket. Chewbacca, put your lipstick up. Oh my goodness. Okay, y'all. It is late. That is it for us. Thank you for listening. And we will see you guys next Sunday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Later.